We're no longer a slave to fear.
Do you have it?
You're a child of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Father, thank you for the truth and the reality of that, Lord. We thank you that old labels no longer apply. Now that we're born again. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to dispense with the old labels, Lord. All we have to do is come to you. Hallelujah. And all the old labels are gone. The new labels are applied. We truly are chosen. Hallelujah. Accepted, forgiven, made righteous. Hallelujah. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Wow. What an exchange.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we come to that place of great exchange. We come to the cross and through the cross.
Yes,
we'll pick up the new life that you so freely and mercifully and graciously made available to us. Not just a second chance, but a brand new start.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Thank you for that reality today, Father. Thank you for the powerful testimony that Herb has already given in regards to that reality, a supernatural reality. But thank you, Lord, this is not just someone who's turned over a new leaf. But Lord, this is someone, Lord, who has been born again of your Spirit.
Amen.
It's a brand new creation in Christ Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you for that truth and that reality, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You saved this morning.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So we should be. Glory to God. Anyway, so we're in a series called Perspective Is
Everything.
Amen. And I thought, well, maybe we should just have a special service, see, there's a baptism today. Then I thought, the Lord began to speak to me about something in regard to this whole perspective, because actually baptism changes your perspective on everything. I know Margaret can say amen to that. Hallelujah. So I've kind of subtitled this message, Perspective is Everything.
Perspective is
Everything. Amen. You convinced? Well, here's a kind of subtitle to this message this morning, because it's a baptism special, if you like. And it's being baptized disables the labels.
Yeah.
Being baptized disables the labels. Remember, perspective is
everything.
Hallelujah. Perspective is defined as a particular attitude towards or way of regarding something or someone. So simply put, perspective is the way that you see yourself, the way that you see other people, the way that you see the world around you, what determines your worldview and what happens to you. It's the foundation of your outlook on life. It's the source of your attitude, and of course, attitude will determine your
attitude.
That's how perspective can be everything, because we have a high calling.
Yep.
God is always calling us up. Jesus didn't come to put us down. He came to raise us up.
Amen.
Amen. I said, Jesus didn't come to put us down. Maybe you thought religion all of your life was there to put you down, but Jesus didn't come. But Jesus didn't have a lot to do with the religion. Most of the religious leaders of the day rejected him, persecuted him, and ultimately they engineered his crucifixion on the cross. He didn't come to put us down. His language was, he hadn't come to condemn us, he came to save us. He didn't come to put us down, he came to raise us up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we'll be looking in this series at how, although there's many ways to be equipped for ministry, there's nothing or nobody can really do to prepare you for ministry. And I would say that, and I've discovered this over years, and particularly over the last little while, I would say that particularly applies to a ministry that is a continuation of Jesus' ministry. Like ministry Jesus step, like the kind of ministry we're supposed to be involved in, or engaged in, alright? And I believe if we're going to fulfill our calling, if we're going to fulfill our commission, if we're going to break out, remember, of the cultural mores, and break into the more of God, then we need a change of perspective from that which has been formed by tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because perspective is
everything.
In Mark chapter 7 verse 13, Jesus said to the religious leaders that they had made the word of God of no effect.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very powerful statement. You need to catch a hold of the power that they had rendered the word of God ineffective through the tradition which they had handed down. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. That's what the word of God is designed to do. Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit and their life. It's a supernatural word. It's a word that comes to work effectively in you when you believe.
Yeah.
And as much as you choose to believe, Amen. But Jesus said to these religious leaders, they had taken the word of God and they had made it ineffective. They'd made it of no effect through the tradition which they had handed down. So that tells me the tradition is very powerful. It's very powerful in limiting your experience of everything that God has so freely provided for everybody. Everybody say amen.
Well,
hallelujah. So it would appear that the perspective from which you hear the word of God, whether you receive the word of God as the word of men or as the word of God himself, will determine whether the word of God works in you effectively or not. Say perspective is everything.
Perspective is everything.
Just at the end of the week, I had a few people at work were saying, oh, what's on this weekend? And so I just mentioned, I just thought I was getting in there, that someone was getting baptized on Sunday. Oh, where's that going? I said, well, they baptize them in the sea. And to be honest, because of church tradition on this island, those asking that question have been programmed with that tradition, so they think that's a big laugh.
Oh, yeah.
They think that's a joke. Not just the non-Christians, but also some of the Christians. Not just the unbelievers, but some of the believers believe it's a joke. That's freezing cold, blah, 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 you know. They have no idea, they have no understanding that there is actually supernatural power that works in us effectively when we hear and apply what God says in his word. When we do what Jesus said to do. The word of God has been rendered ineffective by the tradition that's been handed down. And in fact, it's actually a special day for Katrina and I, because 33 years ago today, 4th of July, 1988, we were baptized in exactly the same place where Herbert would be baptized. Only God can engineer stuff like that. You know, I had no idea that would be the case. It's just out of here. But you don't forget the 4th of July because that's American Independence Day, isn't it? Fireworks Day. Hallelujah. If you're across the other side of the pond. It'll be some special fireworks because that's the same Atlantic Ocean that runs up on the American coast. Amen.
Aye.
Hallelujah. That he's going into today. So there'll be all these fireworks are for you today, bro. 4th of July, 1988, I thought, wow. And so I had to mention that. Was Katrina not baptized in church? I said, well, she was sprinkled as a wee baby, but that's not the Bible. I said, so was I.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I remember that day very, very clearly. It was a beautiful day, sunny day, and I went into the water. And I remember coming back up, and I heard one of the guys who was baptized. He didn't go right under, stick him under again, so. I'd already opened my mouth to take a breath. It was like. I said, what did you do that for? I said, it after. He said, we thought we'd missed a wee bit in the top of your head. I said, that's the bit the Church of Scotland got 30 years ago. I was already covered. Anyway. There's three basic reasons that we baptise believers. The first is that Jesus himself was baptised.
Yeah.
And he calls us to follow him. Amen. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, and then verse 16. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice from heaven spoke, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I believe God will say the same thing over you today, brother. He said over Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. So that's number one. You know, that's a major shift in public perspective to anyone that was listening. Because this was Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the carpenter's son. He'd lived a sinless life in their midst for 30 years, and you know what? Nobody really noticed. They thought, probably all the mothers said, I wish you were like Jesus, he's such a nice boy. And probably all the other kids hate him because of that. Come on. But nobody had noticed that he was completely and utterly sinless. And yet, all of a sudden, God speaks from heaven and says, this is my beloved son. If you were listening to that, that's a pretty big change of perspective. He's not just the wee nice wee boy from Nazareth, Joseph and Mary's boy. This is, God says, this is my son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, hallelujah. Anyway, the second reason is that he told us to baptize those who chose to follow him. He told us that we do it because he did it. We baptize others because he said that we were to do that. Amen. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And he'll be there with us today. Amen.
Yeah.
That should radically change our perspective, knowing that he is with us always.
Mm-hmm.
Always, everywhere, in every situation and in every circumstance. And the third reason is that the Word of God teaches us in Romans chapter 6 that when we are baptized, we are identifying with Jesus' death, with his burial, and with his resurrection. In verse 3 of Romans 6 it says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, but just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also, after we come out of that place, should walk in newness of life."
Amen.
That's another mighty change in perspective, a brand new life.
Mm-hmm.
A brand new life. Now, to baptize actually comes from the Greek word baptizo, which is a word that means to dip or to immerse. It was a word that was used in dyeing cloth and stuff. You took the cloth and you submerged it in the dye, and it came out a different colour.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? So that, to be honest, that just very clearly, very simply clears up any misconceptions about the methodology. Amen. You want to dye the cloth, you baptize it. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You submerge it, you immerse it. So that's, anyway, what's the argument? Why do you do that? Well, just tell them that's just the way the Bible says to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Quite simple. There's no point in fussing and cussing or arguing with people about it. And Scripture also very clearly places believing before baptizing.
Yes.
Mark chapter 16, verse 16 says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." Amen. So you believe first, and then you're baptized. When we believe and are baptized, it gives us a brand new perspective on life, and perspective is
everything.
You know, see, through repentance we came to the cross, and by faith we came through the cross. And on the other side of the cross, we are a brand new creation with a brand new life.
Mm-hmm.
So many people get stuck, as I said, they get stuck in that old covenant mindset, they get stuck in that kind of halfway house, and they keep coming back to the cross. To the front of the cross. But by faith, we came through the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And see, if you don't have that picture that baptism presents to you, and that reality that baptism kind of burns on your memory, you're not looking forward to it anymore, you're looking back to what already happened.
Amen, yeah.
Where Jesus already did it all.
Yeah,
at the cross. So we're not, even, to be honest, one of the songs we're singing today, I was getting a bit, you know, because of that whole thing about we know he can do it. No, I know he already did it.
Yeah.
That's a different perspective. And perspective is everything. And the church loves to sing songs like, because they're very soul empowering, but they're not so spirit empowering, because we believe from our spirit, and the church is full of songs like that that actually mess with your perspective, and so people struggle to take hold of everything that's already theirs. Why? Because they're saying, "We know he can do it." No, I know he did it.
Amen.
He did it. I brought a fire again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I brought my glory in. Thank you, Lord. That was cool. That was really good. Thank you, Lord. Don't say there's no fire in there this morning. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." He's not hoping he's going to become one. He is. Old things have passed away. What happens when someone passes away? You bury them. Otherwise, a bad smell appears. So, anyway. "Behold, all things have become new." In the Message translation, it says, the old life is gone, a new life emerges. Hallelujah. The old is gone. The New International Version says, "The old is gone, and the new has come." That's a completely different perspective. Our perspective has changed, and so from now on, we look back to the cross where Jesus already provided everything that we will ever need to live this new life as a new creation. Hallelujah. Come on. This will help you if you let it. Some of you still ain't picking up all the benefits. And you've been in the war, you have the picture, It's a picture, but it's more than a picture, because God never asks you to do anything out of meaningless ritual. You know, with this revelation of baptism by immersion was restored to the church, and a whole denomination grew out of that. But for a lot of people now, it's just another ritual, it's another tradition. But it's nothing that God ever does is ever supposed to become a ritualistic tradition and be robbed of its power and robbed of its effectiveness.
Yeah.
I'm 33 years old, Lord, I'm still looking. I live in the village, I can look. That's my burial place.
Yeah.
That devil comes banging looking for Donnie Stewart, the old guy. I say, man, you're in the wrong place, pal. He's buried down there. I said, there's more people buried in Dalbeck than there is in Dalmore. Dalmore's the next village where the cemetery is. All the ones who got buried in Dalbeck came back out of the grave. They're already resurrected. They're all over the world now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Remember, there was a band here. Remember, they came from America. And one day, we were just sitting in their house late in the evening. We're talking about stuff. And I realized that through the conversation that two of the band members, Chris and Brad, hadn't been baptized. I said, why don't we do it now? He said, yeah, let's do it. So it was about 11:30 midnight, so we went down the beach and got them baptized. Hallelujah. Amen. Why not? Hallelujah. Perspective is? Remember, the cross changed the way that God looks at people forever. We've been talking about that over the last couple of weeks. We no longer view people from the perspective of their past performance. We now view them from the perspective of their potential. The potential that Jesus made available to them at the cross. We have to get them to the cross and through the cross, and then we can begin to see that potential being realized. But all God sees when he looks at people is the incredible potential they have.
Yeah.
To be victorious and successful. Hallelujah. In the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. Not in the kingdom of this world. You can take them whenever you want. Amen. Hallelujah. The cross changed the way God looks at people forever. Perspective is. Jesus said he hadn't come to condemn people. He hadn't come to put them down, as I've said already, but he came to save people. He came to raise people up. The good news is that Jesus came to disable the labels, the old labels. He continually spoke words that disabled the labels that held people captive, and he released these people into the freedom that they were created to enjoy. Amen. And guess what? He didn't give us a mandate to create and apply new negative labels either.
That's right.
But we're here to continue what he began. To remove the limits on the lives of those who have contained by the labels that have been applied. And that happened in school for some people. Told you were no good. Gee, come on. You couldn't write, or you couldn't read, or you couldn't count, or something. They said you were a write-off. They just wrote you off. And then 20 years later, someone tells you you're dyslexic. No, you can remember it, but you can't get past it. No, dyslexia doesn't work. No. They told me I was no good. Mm-hmm. Still contained, still limited. Some people, even their own parents told them they wouldn't amount to anything. Mm-hmm. They're a wee bit rebellious, a wee bit whatever. And I want to say, even dyslexia can get fixed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. We are here to prophetically announce that the day of labels being disabled has arrived. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. We're going to go through a wee passage here in Luke chapter 7 from the Message translation. It says, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus over for a meal. Who remembers the three P's of the Pharisee? Pride, prejudice, and preconceived ideas. Pride, prejudice, and preconceived ideas. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus over for a meal. He was one of the religious leaders. He went to the Pharisee's house and he sat down at the dinner table. Just then a woman of the village, the town harlot, having learned that Jesus was a guest in the home of the Pharisee, came with a bottle of very expensive perfume and stood at his feet weeping, raining tears on his feet. Letting down her hair, she dried his feet, kissed them and anointed them with the perfume. When the Pharisee, who is full of pride, prejudice and preconceived ideas, who had invited Jesus, saw this, he said to himself, if this man was the prophet I thought he was, he would have known what kind of woman this is who is falling all over him. See, the label had been applied to this lady. This is the town harlot.
Mm.
That's who she is. Mm. That's all she'll ever be. How often do we miss the potential of what someone could be because we limit them to a label that has been applied to them and that we foolishly think describes everything that they could ever be? Well, I tell you, if labels, negative labels have been applied to you, this is good news for you today, because today, I want to tell you, Jesus came to disable these labels.
Amen.
And I mean, I'll say it at the end, but I just thought, yesterday evening as I was sitting in my study, I thought, wow, something just came to me. I thought, wow, that's really cool. Anyway, I'll save it to the end. Hope we'll get there. Anyway. See, there's no question here that this woman was the town harlot. Bible says it, so she must have been. Fair dues. But a prophet is not concerned with holding people captive to their past.
That's right.
A prophet is there to release you from your past and throw open the door that invites you into your future.
Yeah.
To abandon your history and to release you into your destiny. The destiny that God has planned for you. God says, Jeremiah 29 verse 11, I know the plans that I have for you. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. They're always for good. They're never for evil. They're always to give you a future and a hope, a future that is full of hope. Mm-hmm. Not one of the biggest problems in this world out there right now, they have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word of God tells us because they're without God. They're without God and without hope in this world. Because they've been disconnected. Maybe even religion's got in the way of that disconnection. Enforced it rather than removing it. But Jesus came to remove it. Hallelujah. The prophet comes to disable your label. So that who you were can no longer prevent you from being who you really are. And fulfill your potential to be everything that your heavenly Father has planned and destined you to be. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. That's an incredible transformation in perspective. And perspective is?
Amen.
You're getting good at this. Hallelujah. Verse 40, Jesus said to him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Oh, he says, well, bring it on, tell me. I did that a wee bit. Verse 41, two men were in debt to a banker. One owed 500 silver pieces, the other 50. Neither of them could pay up. And so the banker cancelled both debts. Which of the two would be more grateful? Very simple. Simon answered, I suppose the one who was forgiven the most. That's right, said Jesus. Then turning to the woman, but speaking to Simon, he said, do you see this woman? I came to your home. You provided no water for my feet, but she rained tears on my feet and dried them with her hair. You gave me no greeting, but from the time I arrived, she hasn't quit kissing my feet. You provided nothing for freshening up, but she has soothed my feet with perfume. Impressive, isn't it? She was forgiven many, many sins, and so she is very, very grateful. If the forgiveness is minimal, the gratitude is minimal.
Mm.
So the town harlot has her label disabled and is identified by the purpose for which she was created as a generous and extravagant worshipper.
Wow.
That's her new label. Mm. She walks down the street there and goes, that's the woman that came to Jesus and poured the expensive ointment all over his feet.
Mm.
That's her. That's the one that Jesus said all of her sins, all of her sins of her many have been forgiven. She's got a new label now.
Mm.
Jesus prophetically confirms her new life of freedom. A new life of freedom from all of the limitations of the label that she had carried up to that point. Jesus came to disable the labels.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 48, then he spoke to her, I forgive your sins. What's he telling her? He's telling her your past is past.
Yeah.
The old has gone and the new has come. See, perspective is everything. Hallelujah. Verse 49, that set the dinner guest talking behind his back. Who does he think he is? Forgiven sins, they were saying. And he ignored them, praise the Lord, best thing to do, and said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Religion had told her that her label disqualified her. But Jesus disabled the label and told her that she qualified for a new life where there would be nothing. So even he said, go in peace, he said, go in shalom, go in an experience where there is going to be nothing missing and nothing broken in your life anymore. See, perspective is everything. See, your perspective will determine whether you see people as those who deserve condemnation or as those who need salvation. Did you hear that? Your perspective will determine whether you see people as those who deserve condemnation. Have you noticed how self-righteous people can be? people that, especially unbelievers, man, they're ready to nail anybody to, you know, just throw them in jail, throw away the key, doesn't matter who they are, you know, because they feel like they're a bit worse than them, you know. So let's take the opportunity to condemn somebody that's a wee bit worse than I am. You know? I mean, he robbed a bank, I only stole a couple of pencils out of the, out the office or something, you know. So we'll get somebody that's worse than us and we'll condemn him. Make us feel a bit better about ourselves. We don't have to do that. That's just a waste of space. That's all that is. A waste of time. Because Jesus didn't come to condemn anybody. He came to save everybody. He didn't come to put anybody down. He came to lift everybody up. Well, they're an alcoholic. But me, I just like to have a few drinks at the weekend. You know? I'm only saying. But that, no, that person, they're out of control, you know that? Well, I saw you last weekend, you looked pretty out of control as well, by the way. Most people don't like the Sunday morning videos. You know what I'm saying? They start to play. Oh no, did I do that? Did I say that? Oh man. But I'm alright, I'm back at work on Monday morning, so I'm okay. Not like that, okay.
Depending on how you said it, please.
Well, there you go. Anybody that didn't come here to say that, hallelujah. Perspective is everything. Let's just remind ourselves of a few scriptural verses. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. These are words that will change your perspective. He demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, doing the worst thing we ever did, at that point Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Amen. That leaves no room for condemning anybody. God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God threw open the doors of heaven and said, come on in, because Jesus has qualified you to come. Hallelujah. Amen. He wiped out the certificate of debt that was against us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Everything that was against us, he took it out of the way, nailed it to the cross, and invited us to come through the cross into a place where we're debt free. Hallelujah. In every aspect of life. And Jesus said that as the Father had sent him, he was sending us. To do what? To disable the labels. To strip these labels of the power of limitation that they have placed upon people's lives. Some people for years and years and years are still carrying the labels that were applied when they were tiny little tots. Some are carrying labels that were applied in the womb. Some young unmarried girl got pregnant and she had all the feelings of, I don't need this, I don't know if I want this. And her child was born into the world with a scar that said, you're not wanted. And all through life they've carried that label deep down on the inside of them that nobody wants me, nobody likes me. You know what happens when you carry that? People avoid you. Because it's a demonic plant on the inside of you that is designed to be a self-fulfilling prophecy in your life, and it's not the God kind of prophecy. And people who think that nobody likes them actually repel people, do you know that? Because they present something, but it's a label, a false label, and it's time for it to be disabled. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Paul said we've been given a ministry. We've looked at this over the last few weeks, a ministry and a word of reconciliation to prophetically speak words into people's lives that disable the labels and that have held them down. There's a guy who works around, he's talking about, he's saying, this so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. I said, ah, they're all right. Ah, you think everybody's all right? He says. And so I do. Why? Because at the cross, Jesus made it possible for everybody to be all right.
Amen.
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 You say, ah, you think everybody's all right? I said, well, hallelujah, come on. And so labels like addict or alcoholic or worthless or stupid or ugly or failure or hopeless or, this is one I hate, you hear it a lot around here. Oh, he's a poor soul. Mm-hmm. Oh man, for years my spirit has been stirred when I've heard that. Oh, he's a poor soul. Mm. She's a poor soul. Time to disable the labels. Useless, loser, not good enough, pathetic, will never change, born this way, genetically predisposed, sick, special needs, waste of space, angry, depressed, weak, lazy, and on and on and on and on it goes. You know, let's just pick that last one, lazy. You know, that can have two different ways that it works out in people's lives. Some people will find it very difficult to get motivated because that label was applied to their lives. Well, yeah, they told me I was lazy. I guess I'm just lazy. You know how other people respond to that? They become workaholics.
Yeah.
They try to prove. They try to fight their own way out of the label. Well, I can't wait to get a wee bit of the end. But, and I've been trying all their lives to fight out of that. They call me lazy. I'm not lazy. And they work. And you weren't designed to work all the time. Even God took a rest on the seventh day. Come on. not like he needed one. It's just so we might get the message. Now, listen to what it says here. Are you tired, worn out? First, I read this in the New King James, but there it is in the Message translation. Are you tired, worn out, burned out in religion? Come to me, Jesus says. Get away with me. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. We have been given a ministry to speak a word that informs people that whoever they are and whatever they have done, their sins have already been, the forgiveness for their sins has already been purchased on their behalf. And whoever believes that, whoever chooses to believe that, will discover that their label has been disabled and that there's a brand new life available to them, whether it's healing and whether it's restoration. Come on. Hallelujah. Jesus doesn't just come to bring healing for your present wounds. He comes to bring restoration to your past wounds. You know, who knows that Jesus disabled the multiple marriage, living and sin disqualification label of the Samaritan woman we looked at her a couple of weeks ago that he sat down at the well with, remember? And then he prophetically qualified and released her into her destiny as a worshipping prophetic evangelist who was responsible for bringing her whole city to know Jesus. That's pretty powerful. That's a powerful transformation. That's a very different perspective on life. Jesus disabled. Say perspective is everything. Say like you believe it. Anyway. Jesus disabled the Roman soldier who is part of the enemy occupying force. Who knows, that disqualified him in a lot of people's eyes. So never receiving anything from God. Well, Jesus disabled that label from that centurion whose servant was sick and prophetically qualified him as a prophetic teacher of faith and of the authority of the believer. He said, I've never even found faith like this guy's in Israel, in all of Israel. What? This is amazing. See, perspective is everything. Jesus disabled the Gentile dog disqualification label attached to the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was demon possessed and prophetically qualified her as a prophetic teacher of faith and deliverance. Jesus disabled the unclean disqualification label attached to many sick and leprous and paralyzed and blind and deaf and demonized people and prophetically qualified them to live and to enjoy the full life that they had been created and that they were destined to live. Really done. So as we go. Why? Right? Because it's time for ministry. And once you have a testimony, you're equipped for ministry. To tell other people what God has done and what he'll do. And what he's already done at the cross. And how they can just come and pick up everything. Hallelujah. So as we go locally, regionally, cross-culturally and internationally with this message and this ministry of reconciliation, let's always be aware that the labels that have been applied to people, even if they have been self-applied and self-reinforced, cannot limit their potential. Because you talk to people and say, oh yeah, but you know what I've done and all, blah, blah, blah. I want to tell you, I want you to hear this. It doesn't matter what you've done. What you've done can no longer be allowed to define you. You need to start focusing on what Jesus has done.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he went to the cross, he disabled everything that you did, mm-hmm. that you've done,
mm-hmm.
by what he has done.
Right.
And he's invited you, and as I said, he's not inviting you to turn over a new leaf. He's inviting you not even to have a fresh start. He's inviting you into a brand new life. Let's go and speak the words of life that disable labels and set captives free. Let's give people good news that they can believe in. Amen. Who knows? People need to hear good news they can believe in.
Yeah.
I don't know if everybody likes to hear good news. I've said it before. You go around and this island, people say, oh, what's doing today? How are you today? And they all go,
mm-hmm.
not bad. I said, what's wrong with good? What's wrong with saying good? I mean, good's equivalent to not bad. I mean, how bad were you expected to be? And they say, anything fresh today? Any news today? And what they're asking is, has anybody died?
Yeah.
Locally, that we might know. That's the truth, that's the reality. Until you say, no, I never heard it. Oh, well, no news is good news. And you try to say, well, I've got better news than that. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Like, oh, well, you know. Because tradition has robbed that good news of its effectiveness. But the more people that are speaking it out, the more people that are declaring it, the more chance will break through the tradition. You've got to do that. You've got to dig down through all that mess and get where people really can begin to hear again the good news. Say the good news.
The good news.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. Amen. The old negative label wearer is dead. Only positive labels apply to this new creation. And here's the I'll say this and then there's one scripture I think it will be done by then. Hallelujah. But I sat at my desk last night, I sat at my desk and I thought, have you ever noticed how difficult it can be to remove a label from a jar or a bottle?
Yeah.
You notice that? You know, you try to start picking away this dry label and it's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you remove the label? What makes it much easier? You soak it in water. You dip it in water. And all of a sudden, if you put it in the dishwasher, even better, man, the jar comes out clean. You find it. But watch out, because the label's probably clogging up your system somewhere. So make sure you get it out and dump it where it's supposed to be in the tip. Amen. So that's how you do it. I've been trying to pick this label off. I just can't get it all. You can never get it all off, can you? There's always bits left, but you soak it in water and it comes off in a winner. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Jesus came and disabled the labels. He said, believe and be baptized. And you need to believe that when you come out of the water, all of the old labels are left behind.
Yeah.
Today I got baptized, one of the brothers that was around at that time said to me, he said, write down all of the stuff that you want to leave behind in the water on a piece of paper. And then just leave it behind. Let it flow away. Put it in your pocket, and just when you come back, just remove it in your pocket and let it float. Amen. Hallelujah. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good by disabling labels and healing those who had been bound and limited by them. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. This is our exhortation to finish. It is for freedom. Come on, everybody remembers Mel Gibson and Braveheart, don't they? Well, that's just a movie. This is the real thing. Come on. It is for freedom! That Jesus has set us free. You've got to keep declaring that it's for freedom.
Yeah.
I will not be ever again submit myself to any yoke of bondage again, ever. That's what the scripture says. Stand firm then. And do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Say perspective is everything.
Perspective is everything.
Say I'm a label disabler. Say I'm ready for any labels that I've been carrying to be disabled. You know, there's new labels. Remember, see, Katrina will do that, she'll get the jars, and then she's got this wee label gun thing. She's got labels stuck all over the house now. Everything's got a label on it. Because labels are helpful to tell you what something is and what it contains. Isn't that right? So remember, you've been given new labels. That you're saved, that you're healed, that you're delivered, that you're free, that you're righteous, that you're overflowing God's love everywhere you go, that you're blessed. Come on. Mm-hmm. We got a friend from Babby, Pastor Teachy, comes here sometimes and he says, how are you doing today, brother? Blessed and highly favoured. Blessed and highly favoured. Hallelujah. And that's who we are, isn't it? Blessed and highly favoured. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you again that Jesus came to disable all of the labels, that he didn't come to put any of us down but to raise us up. Thank you for the new life that you've made available to each and every one of us. We thank you that today, whoever we are, wherever we're from, whatever we've done, we have an opportunity today to come to and through the cross and enter into that brand new life by just simply believing that when Jesus went to the cross, he went there for us. Hallelujah. Each one of us personally and individually. So that together we can become a part of the family of God. That together we can proclaim and declare, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And if that doesn't change our perspective on everything, I don't know whatever will. Help us, Father, if there's any remnants or residual tradition still working in our lives, trying to rob us of our new identity, Father, we just reject that right now. We cast it down right now and we take up the robes of righteousness that you have made available to us, that clothe us and enable us and qualify us to come into your presence at any time, to receive, obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time.